Okay, today we're on Daf Nun Dalet. So if you remember, we're discussing the bracha Borei Moreh Eish that we recite on Motzei Shabbat, and the Gemara has a discussion about the bracha Borei Moreh Eish on Motzei Yom Kippur. So if you recall, on Nun Gimel Amud Beis, the Gemara had quoted a statement from Shmuel that this was on the sixth wide line, in Mevarchen L'Or Ela B'Motzei Shabbat, Ho'olos Chila B'riyah Tohu. Shmuel holds we only make the bracha of Borei Moreh Eish on Motzei Shabbat, and presumably not on Motzei Yom Kippur. And then Hahu Sava or Rabbi Bar Bar Chana said Yasher, like Yasher Koach, v'chein amar Rabbi Yochanan. He said that Rabbi Yochanan also agrees with that. So we had a statement in yesterday's Gemara from Shmuel and from Rabbi Yochanan that we only make the bracha of Borei Moreh Eish on Motzei Shabbat, not on Motzei Yom Kippur. Then on Nun Dalet Amud Aleph, we quoted a statement yesterday on the third and fourth line from Rabbi Binyamin bar Yefet. I'm Rabbi Yochanan Mevarach on Lo Rabbeinu Motzei Shabbat v'Yos Yom Kippurim. That Rabbi Binyamin bar Yefet said no. Rabbi Yochanan holds one can recite the bracha or one should recite the bracha Borei Moreh Eish, whether it's Motzei Shabbat or it's Motzei Yom Kippur, and b'chein amadabar. That's the way the people are following. They make it on both occasions. All right, let me finish this again, then I'll come back and we'll talk some more. Okay, so and again, the basic idea is that on Motzei Shabbat, so the bracha is commemorating the creation of light, that Adam Arishon took two flints and created a fire on Motzei Shabbat. That's the bracha we make on Motzei Shabbat. And on Motzei Yom Kippur, we're commemorating the fact it has to be a ner Shabbat, a ner that was sort of like Shomer Shabbat, Shomer Yom Kippur, a candle that we weren't able to make use of fire during Shabbat, or in this case during Yom Kippur, and now we can make use of it. That's a different concept. So we have to have a ner Shabbat, that a ner was in existence, and it was a Shomer Shabbos. What I'm saying loosely, you know what I mean, but that it was lit in the halacha, and that's that. Okay, I'll come back. So on the sixth line from the top, so Meitve, we ask Akasha on the statement that Rabbi Yochanan says we make the bracha both on Motzei Shabbat and Motzei Yom Kippur. So Meitve, Ein Mevarchen L'Or Ela B'Motzei Shabbat, Hu'ol Tchila B'riyah Tohu. So again, so Rabbi Yochanan's an Amora, Shmuel's an Amora, they're all Amoraim up till now. So now we're quoting a Braisa. Braisa is obviously a statement from Tanaim. So the Braisa says that we only make the bracha on the or on the candle on Motzei Shabbat, Ho'ol Tchila B'riyah Tohu, since that's when the fire was first created. The Kevan Shiroeh Mevarach Miyad. The Tanakhama says is, as soon as a person sees this fire, he makes the bracha. It means he doesn't have to arrange it with a kos shel yayin, with besamim, the whole zach. You just make the bracha. You saw it, fine, you make the bracha. He says, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, sodron on the kos. Rabbi Yehuda says, no. All the brachot, you have to be masad there on a kos yayin. So besamim on the kos yayin, the ner on the kos yayin, I'll make borei pirkei gafen, I'll make a mav deal. So that's the end of the braisa. V'amar Rabbi Yochanan, halacha k'Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yochanan says, halacha is like Rabbi Yehuda. So even though he says Allah is like Rabbi Yehuda, in other words, presumably Rabbi Yochanan subscribes to the idea that one only recites the bracha on Motzei Shabbat. The only issue was, do I make it just with line them all up on the coast or not? But this sounds like a statement Rabbi Yochanan holds, I only make it on Shabbat. But we had an earlier statement in the name of Rabbi Yochanan that you make it even on Motzei Yom Kippur. So how do we reconcile the statements? So the Gemara says, lo kash, there's no contradiction. Kan, b'or sheshabbat. The earlier statement of Rabbi Binyamin bar Yefet, the name of Rabbi Yochanan, that we'll do it b'motzei Shabbat or b'motzei Yom Kippur, that's a ner sheshabbat, as I mentioned before, means that the candle was lit either before Yom Kippur or was lit on Yom Kippur for pikuach nefesh, but within the course of halacha. Kan ba'or ayotze mina etzim mina avarim. The second braisa is talking about, you know, like we would say, you lit a match. In other words, that type of candle, or you know, that type of light, one can only make the bracha on Motzei Shabbat. All right, let me just finish the sugya, then we'll come back, we'll summarize, and we'll talk. Okay, Tani Chada, or Yotze Min Ha'etzim Min Ha'avadim Mevarchen Alav. We went on one braisa that one can recite a bracha from light that was, you know, created from, you know, from, let's say, like, you know, two stones hit together, things like that. He says, V'tani chada ein mevarchen alav. We turn another braisa, we don't make a bracha on it. So lo kasha kan b'motzei Shabbat. The first braisa is talking about it's Motzei Shabbat, then I would like make a bracha even on something that's, you know, like, you know, we'd say like a like a matchlit fire. He says, Kan b'motzei Yom Kippurim. The second brice is talking about Motzei Yom Kippur. Motzei Yom Kippur, I cannot recite a bracha on a candle that I just light the match for. Okay, now Rebbe Mefazron, Rebbe would say the bracha would all over the place. So he'd be boring Reish here, boring Mesamim there. Every bracha, I mean, it's like scattered. Rabbi Chiya Mach Mechansan. Rabbi Chiya would say them all together. Rabbi Yitzchak Bar Avdimi, Amar Rabbi Yitzchak Bar Avdimi, Afopi Sherebi Mefazran, even though Rabbi would say the brachot here, there, and the other place, Choser Mesodran on the coast, Kedilotzi Banav Bnei Beito, that he would be Mesodran on the coast later on for the members of his family to be able to see them with Havdalah. Okay, so let's just summarize again what we did with these halachot. So the basic idea we covered is that on Moshe Shabbat, one can recite the bracha on, you know, on fire, that obviously the fire has to have, you know, several wicks. It has to be an avuka, and we recite the bracha. The Arisco said it's birchot shebach v'hoda. So, but the key is on Yom Kippur. So for Yom Kippur, we require near Shashavat, a candle that has rested on Yom Kippur, because let me see, we should do the Rashi on this. Let's do the second wide line in Rashi upstairs. But or Shashavat, Shiyam, B'Shabbat Shadalakayom, he says, Umikomakom Imlechet Aveira Shabbat. In other words, it desisted from Melechet Aveira. It's like, imagine, like the fire is like an entity. He says, Shadalak Beheter. It was, everything was Beheter. Kehon Shalchaya V'Shalchola. In other words, it was lit for a woman who had given birth or was sick. Oner Hadolek Meir of Yom Kippurim, or was lit before Yom Kippur. Mevarachin Af Motzei Yom Kippurim. We make the bracha on that one, on Motzei Yom Kippurim. Dehi bracha mishum d'tavar chidush ulo shonene min ha'orayom. The d'tavar chidush means that he couldn't, you know, benefit from the fire today. He couldn't cook with the fire, couldn't do anything with the fire. Now he could do with the fire, so he makes this bracha bori morei ha'esh. Now, the post can bring down that when Yom Kippur coincides with Shabbos, so technically, there are opinions that hold that you can make a bracha on a matchlit fire that day, but we're machmir to do it on a Ner Shashavat. Even when Yom Kippur coincides with Shabbos, you should still try to get like a Ner Shashavat. Okay, who's got questions, comments, or thoughts on anything we did so far? Anybody? All right, I'm going on.
You think Artsko was correct when it said it's a birchas hanena?
No, it didn't. Birchot shevach v'hoda. Birchot shevach v'hoda.
Okay. I thought you said birchot. Okay.
No. Or if I did, I was mistaken. It's birchot shevach v'hoda. Okay. Yeah. All right, let's see further in the Gemara. Though I'm one person I spoke to in the base matter said that there are different shitot with this, but that's the way Artsko said it was birchot shevach v'hoda. All right, let's see further in the Gemara. Okay, we're on the second wide line on Nun Dalet Amud Aleph, second wide line. He says, the Gemara says, V'or b'motzei Shabbat Ivri, you mean the light, the fire was created on Motzei Shabbat. Again, this is when Adam Rishon is being thrown out from Gan Eden, so then it's dark, he takes the two stones, he lights the fire. So he says, V'hatanya, now he's going to prove that the fire was not created on Motzei Shabbat. V'hatanya, Asarad Rem Nivru B'Erev Shabbat Ben HaShemashot, there were 10 things that were created Erev Shabbat Ben HaShemashot means Friday going into Shabbos, Ben HaShemashot. He says, Elohein, Be'er, the well of Miriam was created. Vahaman, the manna that fell in the Midbar. Vekeshet means the rainbow. And each one of these needs, you know, further Iyun. He says, Ketav means the Rashi's second shot is like the form of the Hebrew letters that we... Umachtev, like the stylus with which the Aserta Dibrot were written. He says, Vahaluchot, and the tablets. Vekivro Shel Moshe, the kever Moshe Rabbeinu. Umara Shama Bo Moshe V'Eliyahu, the cave that Moshe Rabbeinu and Eliyahu were in. And it says in Parshas Kitisa that, you know, Moshe Rabbeinu says, you know, Harini Not Kvodecha. So Hashem says, Ani Avir Kotu V'Yapanecha. And it says v'samticha b'nikrat atzur. I'm going to put you in the cleft in the mountain, and then later on, that's with Moshe Rabbeinu. So Moshe Rabbeinu has his vision when he's in this you know cave, and then later on, by Eliyahu Nabi, Rashi brings on the pasuk. It says v'yelech ad har Elokim chorev v'yavosham elamara v'yalan sham. That Eliyahu Nabi, he went to the mountain with chorev. I didn't look it up today, but I think that's after the in Har Carmel, after he has that whole incident with the Nevi'e Abal in Har Carmel, he goes off to Har Elokim. Okay, back in the Gemara, Peticha Piha Aton, the mouth of the Aton that with Bilam, he says Peticha Piha Aretz, Levloed Harishayim, and when the mouth of the earth that would swallow up the Rishayim in times of Korach. Now here's the key though. That part we really didn't really need. This part we do need. Rabbi Nechemi Omer Misham Aviv. Rabbi Nechemi says the name of his father, Afa Or Vahapered. The light, we think it means like the fire, and the parrot is a mule. The parrot is a cross between the horse and a donkey. So we'll see. He says, Rabbi Yoshi Omer Misham Aviv. Rabbi Yoshi says the name of his father, Af Ha'ayil Vahashamir. The ayil is the Elo Shel Yitzchak, the ram that Avraham Avinu uses as the sacrifice instead of Yitzchak. He says, Vahashamir. Shamir is like this worm that would cut through all the stones that Shlomo Melch used to build the base of Mikdash. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Afetzvat. Rabbi says the tongues were also created, Erev Shabbat Ben Hashmashot, metal tongues. He says, Hu Ayomer, Tzavta B'Tzavta Mitabda. He says that one tongue is created with another tongue, B'Tzavta Kamaita Manavid. So who made the first tongue? Halai, Birya, B'dei Shemayim. He so the first tongue was created by heaven. Amarlei, so another Chum said to him, Efshir Yasen B'Tfos V'Kavena Kevan, that they could have made it like in a form, and then you have like the Tzavit, you have the tongues. Halai, Birya B'dei Adamhi. Okay, anyway, Naniach, from this whole Brisa though, we said that the light was created, the fire was created by man when on Motzei Shabbat. This Brisa says, with the light of Reb Nechemia, Af Ha'or. We assume the Af Ha'or is like the fire, but the fire was created Erev Shabbos Ben Hashmashot. So that's the ostensible stira. So the Gemara says Lo Kasho Haba Or Didan Haba Or DeGehenim. That when we spoke about the fire that's created on Motzei Shabbat, that's immortal fire, the R fire that we're familiar with. Haba Or DeGehenim. When it talks about the fire that's created Erev Shabbos Ben Hashmashot, it's talking about the fire of Gehenim. That's a different fire. That was created, we think, that was created on Friday night, Ben Hashmashot. So he says, Or Didan B'Motzei Shabbat, Or DeGehenim B'Erev Shabbat. Okay? All right, I just want to pause for a second. So again, so we're discussing, welcome, Seth. So we're discussing, okay, we're on Nun Dalet Amud Aleph, around the 10th, very wide line. Okay, so we're discussing the... when was fire created? We said that Adam Rishon created it B'motzei Shabbat, that first Shabbos after he had, sinned. So he creates the fire then. And then we said we have a memra that the fire was created, Erev Shabbat Ben Hashmashot, like Friday going into Shabbos. So the Gemara says that fire is talking about the fire of Gehenna was created then. All right, so everybody okay so far? What's up, Fern? I can't hear you.
Okay, now you can. When they said that there were 10 things created and then other people say off this and off that, do those people think that it was more than 10 or
yes,
their substitutions?
Yes. No. They think it's more than 10.
Okay.
All right, let's see further in the Gemara. So the Gemara says, V'or de Gehenna b'Erev Shabbat Ivri, you mean that the Or of Gehenna, the fire of Gehenna, was created on Erev Shabbos going in. Again, each one of these things, it means like Al Pi Hashkafa, it's saying like the world is complete. What's completing the world is when you have the Or of Gehenna, anticipating that man will sin. That's the basic, the broadest sense of what's taking place with this. So the Or of Gehenna is created on Friday going into Shabbos. Bahatani, we learn another brisa, Shivadvarim Nivru Kodam Shinivra Ha'olam. Seven things were created before the world. So we were saying, like the sixth day, like in other words, everything's created. You're going into Shabbos. Now it says seven things are created before the whole world was created. In other words, so he says, Be'elohim, these seven things existed before the world existed. He says, Torah, the Torah existed. He says, Utshuva. And again, each one, it could be a whole drasha, means like the concept of tshuva is in the creation, even before anything has been created. Anyway, there's more to talk about with all this. The Gan Eden, the Garden of Eden, the Gehenim. Gehenim was created, and so that's going to be the Kasha. It's saying Gehenim existed before the world was created. So if Gehenim exists, we think Gehenim exists with the fire of Gehenim. That's going to be the Kasha. He says, the Kisei HaKavod, God's holy throne, Beit HaMikdash, and the Beit HaMikdash means that there's a metaphysical Beis HaMikdash that exists. It's like Chazal teach us, like Beit HaMikdash Shlamata, can I get Beit HaMikdash Shlamala? There's a Beis HaMikdash down here on earth, there's a Beis HaMikdash Shlamala. So it means like this metaphysical Beis HaMikdash existed before the world was created. Ushmo Shel Mashiach, and the name of the Mashiach. All these things existed before the world was created. So now the Gaon is going to bring rayas that where we know these things were created from Sukkim, and then when we're done with the rayas, we'll come back to our question. But the question is going to be, how can it be that the light of Gehenna was created Erev Shabbat Ben Shmashot, when here it says Gehenna was created before the world was created? That's going to be the kasha. Okay. So Torah Dechtiv, Hashem Kanani Reshit Arko. Again, here the Gemara quotes always the beginning of the pasuk. You always need the end of the pasuk. That's just the way it works. So this, the Torah is speaking. The Torah says, Hashem acquired me reshit darko as the first of his path. And then it says like kedem mifalav, something like that. In other words, like before his actions, like before creations, where the Gemara takes it. So the Torah was before the world. Tshuva dechtiv b'terem harim yuladu. It says this is a pasuk in Tehillim before. Don't we say some psuki to Zimra on Shabbat morning? I think right. So he says the b'terem harim yuladu before the mountains were created, and then it says the next pasuk uchtiv tashev enosha daka, like you beat a man down, like pulverize him as daka. Batomer tshuva ben adam, you say do tshuva, but the implication being that the concept of tshuva existed, you know, together with the mountains before everything was created. Gan Eden dechtiv aitashem lokim gan ve'eden mikedem, that God planted a garden in Eden. Mikedem means the east of the Eden, but the Chazal understand it, the way the art school had it, is a play on the words like mikedem mukdam, that it was earlier, but the Rashi clearly says, where's the Rashi? The Rashi, it's lower than where we are. It says mikedem mukdam liolam, like before the world. Okay, gehenem dechtiv kiaruch miet mol tafta. He says that tafta, which is a word for gehenem, and it comes from tafta because the person is seduced, like pitui is like to seduce somebody. So a person ends up in gehenem because he's seduced to avera. So tafta is the name of gehenem. Kiaruch miet mol, it was set up from yesterday, means like from before the world was created. Kisea kafodu beit hamikdash, those two go together, the God's throne and the Beis HaMikdash. Dichtiv kisei kavod marom merishon. It's makom mikdashenu. That the kisei kavod marom merishon. And there's Rashi on this. What does he say? He says, if you look in Rashi, marom means like the elevated heights. But Rashi says this is like 20 lines above where, below the bottom. Marom hu ba'aravot. Marom is aravot. Aravot is one of the heavens. Marom hu ba'aravot. Aravot, I think, is the highest. There's seven heavens, and I think Aravot is the highest of the seven heavens. So it's connected to Hoshana Rabbah. On Hoshana Rabbah, we take the Aravot, and the Aravot are connected to Aravot, like this way. So he says here, Merishon mikodem haolam. In other words, so Marom Merishon. In other words, Kisei Kavod Marom Merishon. The Kisei Kavod, which is in the highest heavens, Merishon, before the world was created, Makom Mikdashenu. And again, the pasuk says the place of our Mikdash, it means the Beis HaMikdash also is connected to that. And then Shmo Shel Mashiach, back in the Gemara, Dechtiv, Yehi Shmo Liolam, Lefnei Shemesh Yinon Shmo. Before the sun was created, his name is Yinon. So anyway, but that's the question. So the question is, here we said that we had a statement that the... that one of the things that was created Erev Shabbat Ben Hashmashot was the Or. And so we said, how could that be? The Or was created on Motzei Shabbat. So he said that Or that was on Leil Shabbat, that was the Or of Gehenna. But then the Gemara quoted the Brisa that Gehenna was created before the world existed. So how could that be? So Amri, they said in the Beis Medrash, Chalalahu Denivra Kodem Shenivra Olam, like the cavity where Gehenna would be, that was created before the world. He says, V'or didei b'erev Shabbat. Its fire was created on Leil Shabbat. So the Gemara says, V'or didei b'erev Shabbat. Ivri was created on Friday night. V'hatani, we learn in the Braisa, Rabbi Yossi Amer, Or Shabbat Kodesh Baruch Hu B'sheni B'Shabbat, Ein Lo Kaviyo Li'olam, that the fire that God created B'sheni B'Shabbat, like on Monday, is never going to be doused out. Meaning that's the fire of Gehenna was created on Monday. So it's getting very confusing now. We're getting like 4 dates for fires, right? So again, we had... We had Gehenna is created before the world. We said that just means the space for Gehenna. And then we have the statement that on Friday night, we thought that's the fire for Gehenna is created Friday night. That mostly Shabbat is our fire. But now we have another statement that the fire that was created on Monday will never be doused out, and that's the fire of Gehenna. He says, Shenemar, this pasuk, who knows where the which haftorah is this? Who wants to say which haftorah is this?
Ashamayim kisi.
Yeah, that's it. You got it, Odeid. So he says that they'll go and they'll see like the corpses of all these people who are sinning. Ki tolatam lo tamot, like their worms won't die. Ve'isham lo tichbeh, their fire won't be doused out. And that's the fire of Gehenna. That they're going to be in Gehenna for. So he says va'ama Rabbi Bana b'reid Rabbi Ula b'pleimah lo ne'amar ki tov b'sheni b'shabbat. Why in Maaseh Bereishit it doesn't say ki tov on Monday, if you look in the different days, so each day it says Kitov, but on Monday it doesn't say Kitov. Tuesday it says Kitov twice. So he says, why doesn't it say Kitov on Monday? Because that's the word Gehenna was created that day. The Amar Rabbi Lazar, Alpha Pish Lo Nemar Bo Kitov, Chazav Kalub Shishi, even though it doesn't say Kitov on Monday, but it's concluded. There's like an all inclusive term on Friday. He says Shenemar Vayarlo Kimikol Asher Asav. You need Tov Maod. On Friday, everything was Tov Maod, so that was also Tov. He says anyway. So we have a steer now. So we have the Gehenna is created. The Chalal of Gehenna is created before Maaseh Bereishis, and then we have something that's created on Monday, which is the fire of Gehenna, so we have to figure what's going on. Ela chalala kol mishne v'olam v'or didei b'sheni b'shabbat. So in Akhenami, those two are units. So the space for Gehenna was created before Maaseh Bereishis. The fire for Gehenna was created on Monday. He says v'or didan b'machshava lali barot b'erev Shabbat. So the other brisa that says that that 10 things were created Erev Shabbat Ben HaShmashot, and according to Rabbi Nechemiah, it's more than the 10, like he was saying, Vern. So including like the or, it means it was Alev Machshava. Hashem thought in his mind to create it, and he gave like, he infused everything with a koach to create it, so that if you would take two stones, fire would come from it. He says, V'lo Nivrad Motzei Shabbat, but he left it for man, and man created a Motzei Shabbat. So that's the maskat of the Gemara with the Tanya, Rabbi Yossi Meir, Shnei Dvarim, Alu B'Machshava Livarot, Be'erev Shabbat, Lo Nivru, and Motzei Shabbat. He says two things were, like in the Machshava, Kaddish Baruch was created, but he left it, and it wasn't created until Motzei Shabbat. Motzei Shabbat, Tanach Shabbat, Udeya, Badam Rishon, Mein Dugma Shomala. Hashem infused man with a type of seichel, like from a Kaddish Baruch Hu, Ve'vi Shnei Avanim Metachem and Zubazu, he you know hit two stones one against the other, Yatzamihen Or, and the spark, the fire came out. Ve'vi Shtei Behem over here Kib Zubazu, man made it two animals, I mean the horse and the donkey. He says Yatzamihen Parrot, and the mule came out. All right, so again, it's coming out in the Maskana that the Chalal of Gehenna, the space for Gehenna, existed before the world was created, and then the fire of Gehenna is created on Yom Sheni, and then on Friday it was Olah B'Machshava Kadosh Baruch Hu to create the fire, or he infused all the elements with the ability to create the fire, but he left it for man, and then man has got the seichel from Kadosh Baruch Hu who creates the fire on Motzei Shabbat. Any questions, comments, thoughts, anything we did so far? Okay, let's keep moving. Okay, so we're 10 lines from the bottom on Nundala.
What do you mean that the Torah was created before
the world? It means, if you want to get deeper with this, the Torah is a reflection of who HaKadosh Baruch Hu is. The Torah is just Shemot of Hashem.
Is it the concept of the Torah?
So the Torah exists in some way before the world is created. That's what it's saying. Does that make sense?
But not the story.
So I it's hard for me to say exactly what's in it. In other words, because those things, those events, you know, I would say that the whole Torah, even in other words, even what you're referring to as a story, is also reflective of who HaKadosh Baruch Hu is. So I think that also was part of the Torah, and that also existed before the world was created. All right. Now 10 lines from the bottom.
I do have a question. Does anyone discuss what unifies all these things that were created, the Bilam's chamor, or the mouth of it, or the mouth that swallowed Korach, but not Yamsuf. You know, why these and not others?
I'm not sure. I'm sure if you look at Mefarshim, I'm sure you'll find, but I don't know what to say. All right. I mean, if you think it over, I mean, Yam Suf was the splitting of the sea. These things are a special bria. It means like something that doesn't exist in the world, right? In other words, like the Pi Ha'aretz, that the earth opens up and swallows, that's a new bria. And the Pi Ha'aton, that an aton speaks, that's a new bria. Like the Yam Suf, you write, the water splits, so that's miraculous, but it's not the new bria. The bria is, you know, if you have a donkey that's talking, that's a bria. If you have if the earth opens up, you know, that's a bria. You know what I mean? So, anyway, let's take a look further. So he says, 10 lines from the bottom. So we said that man mated the horse and the donkey and got the mule. So he says, Rabbi Shimon Gamliel Meir, Pered B'Ana Haya. Shimon Gamliel said, he apparently disagrees. He says, Pered was created in the days of Ana. Ana is mentioned in the Chumash, which we're going to see in a minute. Shneamar, I think this is in Parshat Vayishlach, Hu Ana Asher Matzada Yemim Bamidbar. This is Ana found the Yemim in the Midbar, and the Yemim are the mules. So Dorshe Chamurot Hayu Omrim, Dorshe Chamurot. So one way to understand it is the people who darshan those things that are like hidden mysteries. And chumrata could be like a knot. In other words, things that are like knotted up. Or chumrata could be like a pearl could be a chumrata. So like they uncover all the pearls. He says, Hayu Omrim, Ana Psul Haya. Ana was unfit. He had a genealogical problem. He says, Lefichach Hevi Psul Yolam. Therefore, he brought a Psul in the world. In other words, a person's not supposed to mate, you know, like the horse with the mule and or the horse with the donkey and get a mule, but he did that, and he himself was a psul. He was the result of an incestuous union. Shneimar Elu B'nei Seir Chori. Again, the Gemara quotes the beginning of the pasuk, you need the end of the pasuk. These are the sons of Seir Chori. So there, the Torah is speaking about who lived in land of Seir before Esav and his whole clan came there. So it's Elu B'nei Seir Chori. And then it says, like, it's Sivon Va'ana. In other words, Sivon Va'ana were sons of Seir HaChori. So he says, So Ana is the son of Seir. Uchtiv Eile B'nei Sivon Va'yavana. Then it says that Ana was the son of Sivon. So the sons of Seir HaChori are Sivon and Ana. And then it says that Ana was the son of Tzivon. So first he's listed as a brother of Tzivon, then he's listed as a son of Tzivon. Elam lamed shabat Tzivon ol imo, that Tzivon had an incestuous relationship with his mother, but leaving men with Ana, and Ana was the result of that. So it means Ana was not a biological son of Seir, but he was anyway, you get the idea. So from the mother gave birth to Anna, and then it was a result of this incestuous relationship with her son. So the Gemara says, "V'dilma trei Anna havu." Maybe there are two different Annas, two people with the same name. Amarava, Amina Milta, the Shavur Malka lo Amra. So Rabbi says, "I'm going to see something that Shavur Malka. Shavur Malka was the king in Persia, but he says here he's using it in a different fashion. Umanu Shmuel. In other words, I'm going to see something that even Shmuel never said. He calls Shmuel Shavur Malka, and Rashi gives a shot on this, I think." The two lines from the bottom in Rashi, the last narrow line, Shmuel Kari Le Rava Shavur Malka. Yeah, he says, Mishum Debaki Abedinim, because Shmuel was, in other words, Rava calls Shmuel Shavur Malka, because Shmuel was Baki, he was expert in all the Dinim. Behilkata Kavate Bedinim, we know that the halacha follows Shmuel when it comes to Dinim Amonot. Just like a king's edict is like, that's the halacha. So the same thing with Shmuel. He says, Shavur Malka Parsim Haya B'mei Rava. And Shavur Mimelech Parsim Haya B'mei Rava. Okay, so back in the Gemara, five lines from the bottom. Ikedam Riyam Rapapa Amina Milta the Shavur Malka Lo Amra. That Rapapa said, I'll say something Shavur Malka didn't say. Umanu Rava. The Rava was the Shavur Malka. So either Rava says it in the name of Shavur Malka, which means Shmuel, or Rapapa said the name of Shavur Malka, which means Rava. So he says, Amar Kra, Hu Ana, Hu Anah de Meikara. It says Hu Anah, he was the Anah. So Hu Anah means it's the same Anah. Like frequently in Chazal, when it says Hu, means the person is the same person from beginning to the end. Like Chazal have a drasha, Hu Achashverosh, that he is the same Shotez from the beginning to the end. You know, frequently comes up. So Hu Anah is the same Anah as before. All right. Let's see. I'm going to go a little bit more, then I'll take a pause and we'll take it from there. So now the five lines to the bottom. So Tan Rabbanan. Now the Gemara quotes another brisa about all the things that were created Erev Shabbat Ben Hashmashot, and this brisa is similar to the previous one that we had with the on the third white line, but this one has little other additions to it. Okay, so it says Tan Rabbanan Asur Devarim Nivru Erev Shabbat Ben Hashmashot Be'Elohein Be'er the well, Uman the manna. Again, each one of these things are generally very miraculous things. The keshet is the rainbow, haktav the form of the letters, v'hamachtev the stylus that the lucha would have written, v'lucha the tablets, kivro shel Moshe, u'ma'ara shamad ba Moshe ve'Eliyahu, the cave that Moshe and Eliyahu were in. All right, so they're all not. They all don't fit into that category being miraculous things, but you have to tie it together. Pticha piha aton. The opening of the mouth of the Aton, Pticha Pia Aretz, the Lord of Rishayim, the Yeshurim Af Maklo Shel Aaron. Some say even the Makel of Aaron, Aaron's staff, Shkedeh Ufracheha. It's almonds and blossoms. Remember that in Parshas Korach. There's a challenge to Aaron, so his staff ends up blossoming for Shkedim. Very apropos. Today is Rosh Chodesh Shvat. According to Beit Shammai, it's Rosh Hashanah Ilanot. According to Beit Hillel, it's Tu B'Shvat, but it is Rosh Chodesh Shvat. He says, V'yishomrim af mazikim, some say even the mazikim, like, I don't know, the demons, the spirits, whatever. V'yishomrim af, turn page, af bigdo shel Adam Rishon, the bigot of Adam Rishon. Let's look at the top line in Rashi. Bigdo shel Adam Rishon, this is on Amud Bey, Sheyucha kukor bokwo min chayu behema. There were pictures of all these animals in the beget of Adam Rishon, who Nimsar the Nimrod. Then it was given over to Nimrod, Al Kenyamar Kinimrod Gibor Tzayed, that he was a big hunter, and he was able to be a big hunter, because I'll teach us that the animals would just walk up if they saw the pictures. He says, V'esav harago unitalo. Then Esav killed Nimrod, and he took the garments. He says, L'ficha chaya ish tzayed. So therefore, Esav was an ish tzayed. That's the reference to the begadim that Rivka took, Begde Esav HaChamudot, the desirous ones. He says, Banishamati Begadav Shal Adam Rishon, Hainu Kotnot Or, Shayulo. But Rashi says, you heard another Pshad, that it was like the begadim that Hashem made for Adam and Chava, the Kotnot Or, the garments of leather. But anyway, that's the begadim. Anyway, back on the top line of the Gemara, let me just go to the Mishnah, and then we'll talk. So Tan Rabbanan, Shiva Rim, the Husim mi Bnei Adam. There's seven things that are hidden from a person. It's necessary that a person not know these things, because otherwise it would be impossible to live one's life. He says, Elohein, Yom Amita, the day of one's death. And it means like a person doesn't know his day of his death. If you knew the day of the death, it would be like difficult to handle the situation. He says, V'yom HaNachama, the day when a person will get consolation. So he says, like you're suffering from some distress, from some problem. So you don't know when you'll be out of it, like this horrible COVID misery. Like, we don't know when we'll be out of it. But like part of the Gzeirah and Shemayim is that it should be like this, a certain period of time like this. So it's so you can't know the Yom HaNechama. But Omek HaDin, the depth of the din. So Rashi says on the second arrow line, Omek HaDin, Harov Toimbo. So the first shot, he says that people judge things erroneously. They, like if you look in the article, footnote 4, they take claims and testimonies at face value. And that's the first interpretation. But the second shot is that, like the judgment of men in the world to come is concealed in this world. In other words, I don't know what the judgment will be. Look at the Rashi. He says, Inami Omek HaDin HaAtid. In other words, nobody can know. In other words, different people seem to do the same action, but everybody gets rewarded and punishment differently. Okay, and then continuing on back in the Gemara, he says, V'ein Adam Yodeyama Belibo Shel Chavero. Nobody knows what somebody else is thinking. So it'd be very difficult, I guess, if you had a world where everybody knew what everybody was thinking. The okay, He says here that this would. All right, let's see back from the Gemara. He says, "Ve'ein adam yudea b'ma mistaker." A person doesn't know like what's money's going to make. Like in other words, you could say what stocks are going to go up or things like that. And so, if everybody knew, everybody would buy that item, and the world wouldn't be able to exist. U'malchut be'i David matai techzor, when the Davidic monarchy will be restored. U'malchut chayevet matai techle, when the evil kingdom will come to an end. It means like Rome and its successors. Okay, Tan Rabbanan shoshalim alu b'mashabli barod v'im lo alu dinhu shialua. In other words, three things entered Hashem's mind to be created during Bereishis, and they were created later on at the appropriate time. But even if they had been created, like it's logical that they should be created, he says, that God decreed that a person was dead, like the body decomposes. So otherwise, look at Rashi. Otherwise, people would leave the body around and constantly be reminded of their tsar. So mainly you have to bury the deceased, and then like an end to the avelus comes. That when people pass away, so there's a point where it doesn't mean you ever forget the people who pass away, but like the intensity of the loss dissipates with time. Like grain rots, because otherwise everybody would just keep it forever. So it rots, so I have to sell it. He says, some say there's a gzera that currency should circulate. So he quotes over here, one shot, he says that that people accept coins, even though it's less than the market value. But all right, but that's the piece with that. Okay, who's got questions, comments to us, and anything we did so far?
Yeah, this presents a very, the first Tanu Rabbanan presents a very bleak picture. If you don't know what's Bilibo Shel Chaveiro, it's like what Hashem was saying in Noah, that man is bad, that the nature of man is bad. I mean, it's that you shouldn't trust. And well, I think that's rough to hear.
Well, it could be both ways, frankly. You know, like somebody's planning a surprise birthday party for you. You don't know what's in their mind. That's also right. It doesn't have to be negative. It could be positive as well. But if everybody knew what everybody was thinking, it would be very, very difficult. You know,
is there a reason why they list things and then they say again ve'ein adam yodea, ve'ein adam yodea, for numbers 6 and 7 or whatever it is? In other words, the way it's written, the phrase, never mind, it's not important.
All right. Okay. Any other questions, comments, thoughts? Everybody good? Okay, let's go on. All right. So now, okay, let's take a look at the next mission. We're 10 lines from the top. Okay, Manitin. So we're, again, this parak is Makom Shenahagu, and now we're going to have, again, different minhagim that some people do in some places, some people don't do in other places. So Manitin, Makom Shenahagu L'Sot Malacha B'Tishba Avosin Sin. If the minhag makom is do malach on tishbav, you do it. In other words, in some places the minhag is to do malach on tishbav. And the idea with malach on tishbav is to not do it is you want to focus on the avelos. He says, "My kum shenagu shalola sot malacha inosin." If the minhag is not to do, we don't do it. Uvachomakom tamidachamim betalim. But in every place, tamidachachamim, there it's appropriate that they should be batel. They should not be working. He says, "Rav Shmuel Golomer lamia says amasmo tamid chacham." Shmuel says any person can, you know, can comport himself as a Talmud Chacham on Tishbav and not do Malacha, and it's not Yura. Yura is like you're like assuming a position greater than where you're holding. It's like, no, this is a good thing. If you want to be like a Talmud Chacham and not do Malacha, that's a very nice thing to do. All right, so let's take a look further in the Gemara. So the Gemara says, Amar Shmuel, Ein Tanit Tzibur B'Bavel, El Tishba B'Vad. So we think, so in Eretz Israel, they would have a different Taniyot. We haven't done Masechet Tanit, but in Masechet Tanit, there are different Taniyot that the Beis Din goes there when rain doesn't come. And Shmuel says that there's no din of Tanit Tzibur in Bavel except for Tishbav. And we'll have to see what's going on. So the Gemara says, L'meimer Tzavar Shmuel, Tishba B'Nashmash Shlo Asur. So we think, he's saying that in Eretz Yisrael, that even on the Bein HaShemashot of a Tanit Tzibur, Tanit Tzibur, meaning the full-fledged Tanit Tzibur, you do like 25 hours, and that the Bein HaShemashot of Tisha B'Av is also prohibited, meaning between sunset and Seisei Kochavim, going into the fast. V'amar Shmuel Tisha B'Av Bein HaShemashot Shlo Mutar, but Shmuel says in a different statement that you're allowed to Bein HaShemashot, you're allowed to eat Bein HaShemashot going into Tisha B'Av. So he says, V'chitei Miksav Shmuel Kol Tanit Tzibur Bein HaShemashot Shlo Mutar, maybe that's what Shmuel holds by all of the Tanit Tzibur. So when Shmuel says there's no Tanit Tzibur in Babel except Tisha B'Av, maybe he holds a Tanit Tzibur, you're allowed to eat Bein HaShemashot. But we learn in the Mishnah in Masechet Tanit, and this is talking about a Tanis again for like for the rain. In other words, they don't have rain. Ochlim shotim v'od yom, that you can eat and drink mi v'od yom when it's day. Lemiute mai, what is that to exclude? Lav lemiute bein hashmashot. We think that's a proof that they would not eat bein hashmashot in with a Tanit Tzibur. Lo lemiute mishecha shecha. No, that's not of the kasha. Could be to exclude from dark. In other words, it could be that Shmuel holds that the Tanit Tzibur and Babel, they would eat Bein HaShemashot, and Shmuel holds that Tisha B'Av also you can eat Bein HaShemashot. That's what we think. So the Gemara says, name him Sayalei. Should we say that the following Braisa supports Shmuel? Ein Bein Tisha B'Av L'Yom HaKippurim. There's no difference between Tisha B'Av and Yom Kippur, which is Sfeika Asur, except by Yom Kippur, the Safek is prohibited. He says, B'Zeh Sfeika Mutar, and by Tisha B'Av, the Safek is Mutar. Now, the period of Bein HaShemashot is Safek Yom, Safek Laila. We don't know if it's day, we don't know if it's night. So the Gemara says, my Sfeika Mutar, when it says that Tisha B'Av Sfeika Mutar, it's Safek is permissible, what does it mean? La Bein HaShemashot. So is it not Bein HaShemashot? So if it's Bein HaShemashot, then all our problems are solved, and we have the Pshat, we think that Shmuel is saying that Tisha B'Av, you can eat Bein HaShemashot, and then Elchinam the Tanit Tzibur, you would also eat Bein HaShemashot. And this Bryson says that, or this, it's a, the Bryson that says, Ein Bein Tisha B'Av L'Yom HaKippurim, which is Sfeika Asur, would also be corroborating that. So the Gemara says, Lo, K'damar Rav Shisha B'Rei Rav Yidi, L'Kfiya D'Archa, that last Raya is like deflected. There was last Raya is not a good Raya, because Rav Shisha B'Rei Rav Yidi later on says in our Gemara, when it says Sfeika, it's not talking about the period of time between Shkia and Seisei Kochavim. Sfeika means I don't know when Rosh Chodesh was. So when it says that, so the way that Rav Shisha B'Rei Rav Yidi says that by Yom Kippur, Sfeika Asur, that I would have to observe 2 days Yom Kippur. I don't know when Rosh Chodesh was. And on Tisha B'Av, I would just do 1 day. That's what we think. So he says, Hachanami L'Kviya D'Archa. All right, so that's one shot that we had from Shmuel. So, but it's coming out, Shmuel Lechora holds that you're allowed to eat Bein HaShemashot of Tisha B'Av, and Shmuel also holds that in Tanit Tzibur and Eretz Yisrael, they would eat Bein HaShemashot. That's what we think. So now we're going to hear a different opinion. You know this was coming up. So Darash Rava, Rava Darsh, and Rava disagrees with Shmuel. Darash Rava, Ubarot U'Meinikot Metanot U'Mashlimot Bo, is that pregnant women and nursing women fast and complete it. He's talking about Tisha B'Av, that pregnant and nursing women have to observe the fast, just like they observe Yom Kippur. But Bein HaShemashot Shlo Asur, and the Bein HaShemashot is prohibited. So Rava is learning differently than Shmuel. So Bein HaShemashot of Tisha B'Av and Yom Kippur is prohibited. B'chein Amru Mishrei Rabbi Yochanan, and they said the same thing they Rabbi Yochanan. So Rava and Rabbi Yochanan are both saying that you cannot eat Bein HaShemashot of Tisha B'Av, okay, and also Yom Kippur. Umi Amar Rabbi Yochanan Hachi, did Rabbi Yochanan really say that? V'amar Rabbi Yochanan Tisha B'Av Eino Kitani Tzibur, that Rabbi Yochanan said Tisha B'Av was not like a Tanit Tzibur. My love, Lebein HaShemashot. Did he not mean for Bein HaShemashot? Meaning that within Rabbi Yochanan, he thinks that a Tanit Tzibur, you cannot eat Bein HaShemashot, but Tisha B'Av, you could. That's what we think. He says, Lo, Lemlacha. He meant by Melacha. In other words, that Tisha B'Av is different. It's not like a Tanit Tzibur. Tanit Tzibur, I can't do Melacha on a Tanit Tzibur. But on Tisha B'Av, I could do Melacha. That's what we think he's saying. He says, So he says, what do you mean, Malacha Tanina? But I don't need Rabbi Yochanan to teach me that I could do Malacha on Tish B'Av, I know the Mishnah. There was, everybody knew all the Mishnah. Well, the Tanaim knew all the Mishnayot. He says, Makom Shnagul Somalakam Tish B'Av Sin, Makom Shnagul Shlola, so it ain't no sin. If the minhag is to do, you do. If the minhag is not to do, you don't do. But Rav Rosh Hamliel, and even the stringent opinion of Rav Rosh Hamliel, that everybody can comport themselves like a Taman Chacham and desist from Malacha on Tish B'Av, Lo Amar, Elchiyati V'Lo Avi, Lo Mechzi Kiura. He only meant that if I desist from Malacha, it doesn't look like I'm being like arrogant above my station in life. Aval Mesar Lo Asar, but in Achinam Yitzadadin, it's not prohibited. So it doesn't make sense that that would be what Rabbi Yochanan was referring to. So what did he mean? Elamayeno Kitanit Tzibur. What did Rabbi Yochanan mean that Tish B'Av is not like Kitanit Tzibur? He says, and we know that Rabbi Yochanan says that Bein HaShmashot is prohibited, so the, we don't want to say that he's saying that Bein HaShmashot is permissible. So he says, what do you mean? It's Eino Ketanit Tzibur, L'Tfila Ne'ilah. So it means that on a Tanit Tzibur, they have another Tfila. We always do this Ne'ilah on Yom Kippur, but they would have Tanit Tzibur. If you look in Rashi, we didn't get this in Masechet Tanit, but if you look at Rashi, immediately to the left where we are, at the end of the Rashi, the Dibur Matchel, L'Tfila Ne'ilah. So he said the last two lines, Ve'elu Hein Shlosha Prakim, Tanit Mamadot V'Yom Kippurim. There are three times in the year that one recites Ne'ilah that's on a Tanit Tzibur, Mamadot of the people who are, you know, fasting in their towns, to, like to as part of the accompaniment for the Korban Tamid, and on Yom Kippur. So he's back in the Gemara, and so he says, Elamai Eno Kitanit Tzibur L'Tfila Ne'ilah, meaning on a Tanit Tzibur I'll say Ne'ilah, but on Tish B'Av I will not recite the Tfila Ne'ilah. Ne'ilah is the Tfila that's recited at the end of the day, like the simple pshat eight Ne'ilah to Shar when the gates are being closed in heaven. That's one pshat that the Gemara has. But Amar Rabbi Yochanan, but does that make sense? But Rabbi Yochanan said, Levai Shli Palel Adam, Bolei Kol Yom Kulo. Rabbi Yochanan says, if a person is Mesupak, whether he davened or not, let him daven again. Like, halavai, a person should daven the whole day. Tefillah is good. So how could it be that he would say that I shouldn't do Ne'ilah on Tish B'Av? So the Gemara says, Hatam Chova Hacha Rishut. No, it just means that on a Tanit Tzibur, it's obligatory to do Tefillah's Ne'ilah. But on Tish B'Av, Rabbi Yochanan will say, if it's optional, you want to do it, Gigus on Tehid. Okay, that's the first shot. V'yibayit Eima, or else I could say, my Eino Ketanit Tzibur. What did it mean? What did Rabbi Yochanan mean that it's that Tish B'Av is not like a Tanit Tzibur? This is a special tefillah that the Shliach Tzibur recites with 24 brachot on a Tanit Tzibur. So Rabbi Yochanan holds that on Tish B'Av we don't recite that special tefillah. Rapapamar, my Eino Ketanit Tzibur. Rapapa says, what does it mean it's not like a Tanit Tzibur? Eino Kirishonot Elaka Achronot Ba'asura. It's not like there's a series of Tanit Tzibur. There's like the beginning, the Taniot get more stringent. So it's not like the earlier, it's not like a Tanit Tzibur. Yeah. In other words, the earlier Taniot, Bein HaShmashot is Mutar. You're allowed to eat Bein HaShmashot. This, but it's like the achronot, like the later ones where it's prohibited. All right, let's just pause for a second and just kind of sort ourselves out. The basic idea we learned in this whole Gemara is that Shmuel said that you could eat Bein HaShmashot of Tish B'Av, and Yochanan says you can't eat Bein HaShmashot of Tish B'Av. That's like the in a nutshell what we learned in the last 30 lines. All right, who's and then we had the last statement that Rabbi Yochanan said that Tish B'Av is not like a Tanit Tzibur. So what did it mean? It doesn't mean that you can eat Bein HaShmashot. He means that it's not like a Tanit Tzibur. You do Ne'ilah, and here he holds that there is obligatory. Here it's optional. Or on a Tanit Tzibur, the Shliach Tzibur has a tefillah with 24 brachot. Here on Tish B'Av, we won't do a tefillah with 24 brachot. Or it's not like Tanit Tzibur. It's not like the earlier Tanit Tzibur. There's a series of Taniot you fast for rain. It's not like the earlier ones where you can eat Bein HaShmashot. It's like the later ones where you can't eat Bein HaShmashot. Okay, who's got questions, comments, thoughts on anything I did so far? Okay, I'm going to move on. We'll finish the daf and that'll be it. Okay? All right, let's take a look. Okay, we're on the first wide line, first very wide line on Dalin with Bays. All right? All right, one second. Okay, so now we're going to challenge the opinions of Rav and Rabbi Yochanan. They both hold you can't eat Bein HaShmashot. Okay, Meitvei, Ein Bein Tish B'Av L'Yom Kippurim. There's no difference between Tish B'Av and Yom Kippur. El Vezes Feiko Asur, Vezes Feiko Mutar. It's just that by Yom Kippur, the Safik is Asur, and by Tish B'Av, the Safik is Mutar. So my sfeika mutar. So this is like similar to what we had earlier. What does it mean that the safek is mutar on tishbav? La benishmashot shelo. It's not referring to benishmashot. So here we have a brisa. If the interpretation of the brisa is correct, so then Rabbi Yochanan and Rava are going to be in gahak tzuris. They say you can't eat benishmashot. This we think says you could eat benishmashot. Says Amrav Shina. Here's the statement. Amrav Shisha Braid Ravini lo the kviyah diyarcha. He's talking about no the kviyah of the Rosh Chodesh. That if I'm supag, I don't know which day Rosh Chodesh is. So by Yom Kippur I have to fast 2 days, but by Tishbav I'll just fast 1 day. All right. So the Gemara says ha lechol dvarim zebes eshavin. So the implication of that. Let me see what the Bach has. Ha lechol dvarim zebes eshavin. Lechol dvarim. Yeah. So the implication is other than that. Every halacha is the same. That's what we think. In other words, Yom Kippur and Tishbav, other than the Safek, every other din is the same, we think. So, Messiah Reb Lazar, that would seem to support Reb Lazar. Messiah Reb Lazar, Dam Reb Lazar, Asrili Ladam Shoshid Esbo Bamayim, Betishbav, a person is not allowed to stick his finger in water on Tishbav, Kaderash Asrul Oshid Esbo Biyom Kippurim. Just like on Yom Kippur, one can't stick one's finger in the water. It means you're allowed to wash your hands till the knuckles on Tishbav and on Yom Kippur, but if you just feel like you want to stick it in, like for Tanug, that you can't do. So the so that corroborates his opinion. So he says, so Meifei, and this we ask Akasha from the following Brisa. The Brisa says, Ein bein Tishbav l'tanit tzibur el shezeh asur basiyat malacha v'zeh mutar basiyat malacha. So now this Brisa compares Tishbav to a tanit tzibur. So it says the only difference between Tishbav and Atanas Sibur is that on Atanas Sibur is Asur b'malacha, Tishbav you're Mutar b'malacha. He says b'zeh Mutar b'masiyat malacha makom shenagu. If that's the minhag makom, so the Gemara deduces halachot devrayim zebzeh shavin. So for all the other halacha, and you see where the box said devrayim before, it's like to make it, you know, the language halachot devrayim zebzeh shavin. For every other din, it's the same. But by a tanit sibur, we learn in the brisa, sha'amru asur brachitza lo amru ela kol gufo. When we say you know, let's do brachitza on a tanit sibur, means the whole body. But a person could wash their hands, their face, and their legs. So we just said that even the finger is a problem. And now we're saying that it's just like tishbur is just like a tanit sibur. So we're running into problems. So amra papa. The top line on the Nehem Aleph, Amar Papa, Tana Kuli Kuli Katani. The Tana here isn't teaching us all the Chumras, he's just teaching me the Kulas. Meaning, in the Brisa, the first Brisa, which was on the first white line, Eimei Tishav L'Yom HaKippurim, and this Brisa was that Eimei Tishav L'Tana Tzibur, the only thing he wants to accentuate are the Kulas. In other words, he's showing you in what way is Tishav more cooler than Yom Kippur, or more cooler than Tanit Sibur. So when it comes to Yom Kippur, so Tishbav has a cool. I only have to fast 1 day, but I don't know what day Rosh Chodesh is. And similarly, in the second Brisa, if it's on Tishbav, it's Mutar B'Malacha. But it doesn't mean that there's an equivalence by the Chumras. In other words, so in Achinami, when it comes to the Chumras, Tishbav is more Chamor than a Tanit Sibur. In other words, in Achinami, on Tishbav, you can't even stick the finger in the water. He's just accentuating some Kulas. He's not telling you what the Chumras would be. For the Chumras, it's not the equivalent to the Tanit Sibur. All right. Any questions, comments, thoughts on anything I did tonight? All right, let me see if I have anything for you, and then it'll be it. And then let me see if I have something here. All right, we'll read a story, even though Michael never likes it, but we'll do a story tonight, and then it'll be it. All right, now when a Rav Yechiel Mordechai Gordon Zitzal, the late Rosh Hashiva Lumza, was residing in London, he received a most moving letter from his daughter, Freda Chai. So the daughter is in Eastern Europe, presumably in Lomża, in Poland. And he had promised that during his scheduled trip to America, he would make every effort to obtain a substantial loan, whereby his daughter would be able to marry her chassan, who was a noted Talmid Chacham. So he said, like, they would make trips to raise money. And he tells the daughter, don't worry, I'll make the trip. I'll borrow the money, and I'll get you the dowry, the nedunya, and you'll be able to get married, and everybody will be happy. So in her correspondence, Freda Chaya told of her friend, also a Kala, who was in a poor financial situation, would probably have to cancel her engagement. She wrote an emotional plea. I beg you, dear father, with the full consent of my chassan, to submit the funds to my friend. We will manage with what we have. So give the dowry that you're going to get from me, give it to my friend. So Rav Abramsky, Rabbi Cheskel Abramsky, who was the Rav of London at the time, heard about the touching letter. He successfully obtained the necessary sum, albeit after much toil and effort, and insisted on personally delivering the check to the post office. In explanation, he related a fascinating episode concerning the wife of the Vilna Gaon. Now, this story I mentioned in my Parsha class, and so you might recall it from the Parsha class. So you remember the Vilna Gaon had a friend, and they would collect money for different stakas. And one day they went, they couldn't find the person they were trying to find, and then they saw it on the street. And again, they made a deal. They said whoever dies first, they shook hands, whoever dies first will come back and visit the other one and tell her what's going up in Shemayim. So during their life, they would collect money, and one day they couldn't find the person they were trying to collect money from. And then when they were in the street, the wife of the Vilna Gaon said, there she is. There's the woman that we need to speak to. So this woman who died, so her friend died first. The woman who died, she appeared to the wife of the Vilna Gaon and said, do you remember when we were collecting the money? So when we're collecting the money, we got equal sachar. But you raised your finger. You said, there she is. You got a special reward for just raising your hand and saying, there she is. So Rav Abramsky said that if so, concluded Rav Abramsky, then even the way the hand is registered, I want to forward this check personally. In other words, he wanted to send the money himself because you get reward for everything. Okay, let me end the recording. Okay, Michael, one second.
Michael survived the story.
All right, let me end the recording.